Okay, here we go. Okay, here we go. Parsha that we are talking about. Yo, Parsha that we're starting now with is Parshat Bahar. Okay, Parshat Bahar. Okay, Parshat Bahar was said on Har Sinai. It says it straight out in the first pasuk. Okay, Bahar Sinai. So when was it, you know, when is Parshat Bahar? It's during the last 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu is on Har Sinai after the Cheira Egel, ending with the Luchot Shniot being given to Moshe on Yom Kippur. Okay, so it's during that time period that we learn this. After discussing what we spoke about in the previous parsha, Kedushat Zman, Kedushat Adam, Kedushat Mikdash, now we discuss the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, there are 57 psukim in Parshat Bahar. The first 7 deal with Shemitah, and the next 50 pretty much deal with Yovel. Pretty cool. Okay? So, first 7 deal with Shemitah. And after working 6 years, we are told that on the 7th year, it is Shabbat LaHashem. Shabbat LaHashem. You may not work the ground. You can't plant. You can't harvest. Plus, anyone is entitled to come and eat from your fruits for free. During Shemitah, it's Hefker. It's ownerless. People ought to come in and eat from the fruits, but it has Kedushat Shvius. Okay? Kedushat Shvius, there's certain sanctity. You can't just throw it out. You can't use it for non-food things. Now, you know, Shemitah was last year. Pretty soon you'll have wine that will be coming out that was harvested during the Shemitah years, and it'll say, this wine has Kedushat Shvius, which would mean that you have to drink every drop. Those of you who have the minhag to like pour wine for Abdullah and put the kiddush, you know, the fire out, shouldn't do that because you can't waste. It's got Kedusha Shvius. You have to finish it. Yes.
So sometimes, like going during Shemitah, you're not allowed to sell. So how do like supermarkets and places like sell it?
So during Shemitah, there's one of two ways: either it's Hetta Mechira or something called Otzer Beistin. Otzer Beistin would be, I'm not paying for the fruits per se, I'm paying for the delivery, right? I could have gone to someone's field, could have gotten oranges from his orchard and apples from his, and I could have gone all the way around, but instead some guy did it for me. He went all the way around, and I'm paying for his services. What that means is it ostensibly should be cheaper. It's usually not, but, you know, it should be, you know, cheaper because you're not paying for the fruits, you're just paying for, but yes, the services go up a lot during that year. Anyway, that's basically what it comes to.
You're paying just...
Yeah, you know, right. So I'm saying like that is technically how it's done. Or the fruits that you're buying might be imported from Chutz Laretz, and then it doesn't have Kedushat Shvius. But if it's got Kedushat Shvius, so then it's oats are based, and that's how. Yes.
Two questions. Number one, if it's from Arizona and it's transferred to U.S., does it still have its Kedushat?
Yeah.
How do
so
I know?
So you'd have to ask and find out. But the same thing. The same idea also happens with Trumas and Maestros. Now, the assumption is, I'm pretty sure the Rabbanut HaRashit, they take Trumas and Maestros before they send to Chutz Laretz, and probably the fruits and vegetables that you get in Chutz Laretz probably are done with the Hetta Mechira. So if you rely on the Hetta Mechira, so then you don't have a problem, and it doesn't have Kedushat Shvius, and it's all fine. If you don't, so then you'd have a separate issue about Kedusha Shvius.
It is a problem sometimes. Like, I remember, like, Costco, like, import stuff.
Yep, okay. I don't know. I'm not living there.
Yovel is the same thing as Shmuel.
I'm going to get to Yovel. Now, let me see.
Okay.
In Parsha Mishpatim, the word Shemitah is used, and I refrain from working. That's Shemitah. And in Sefer Devarim, we have a concept called Shemitat Ksafim, and that's where I cancel all debts. And here, the word Shabbos is used. When we talk about Shemitah and Parshat Bahar, it's actually Shabbat. Shabbat is used, not coincidentally, 7 times. Okay? Because it's not about the Gavra, it's about the Chetza. It's not that I refrain from working or I cancel debts. It's that the land must rest. Incidentally, in the next 50 psukim, when I said more or less talks about Yovel, so Yovel is, it's sort of like a second type of Shemitah. It's like a Shemitah plus, which we'll get to soon. And there it's pretty interesting that the word Yovel is mentioned 7 times too, 14 times. So if we have seven times Shabbos in the first seven psukim, we have Yovel mentioned 14 times in the next 50 psukim. It is a second form of Shemitah, as we will see. Now, the Chasam Sofer says the reason why the laws of Shemitah are mentioned as being from Har Sinai is because it is a proof for the authenticity of the Torah from God. Only God could promise a bumper crop to carry over every Shemitah. The Sforno points out that the Minhag HaOlam, at least back then, I have no idea what is done today. Let me just finish. I just want to say now it's easier. The Sforno points out that the Minhag was to let the land lie fallow, meaning not to work it, not to grow anything there, every other year. Every other year, this was what was done. This allowed the land to replenish its nutrients. Also, it saves money on fertilizer, on irrigation. It improves moisture, producing a higher yield the following year. Now, if this was the general custom in working the land, so now we're told something so fascinating. Work the land six straight years. So now, in that sixth year, it's probably going to be the weakest crop that you have. There's been no time for the land to rest. And yet, what are we told? Oh, in that sixth year, you're going to have such a bumper crop. It's going to be enough for the sixth year, seventh year, and into the eighth year till you plant and things grow. So this was an open miracle, right? This was an open miracle that God loves us. No human being could have made that promise. Because if he would have, his religion would have lasted all of 7 years. In Shemitah, people would have said, it's not happening, it didn't happen, I'm starving, it's over. So this is the Chasam Sofer's reason why it specifically mentions by Shemitah, it's written by Har Sinai, that this is a proof that the Torah was given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. According to the Ibn Ezra, just like Shabbos gives the farmer 1 day a week to relax, stop working, and be able to learn Torah, Shemitah is a sabbatical year. It's the exact same idea. One out of every 7 years, he can just take time off and learn. That's according to Ibn Ezra, this is the goal of Shemitah. And there were many farmers that did that, and throughout Shemitah, there were many, many shiurim, extra shiurim going on, and all sorts of stuff that was set up. Okay? Interesting idea. Now, there's a mitzvah, now we're moving on to Yovel. There's a mitzvah on the Beis Din to count seven Shemitahs. Right? To say this is the first Shemitah, the second, till we get to the seventh Shemitah. And this is based on the pasuk says, Usafarta Locha. Now we know when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer that each and every one of us have to say, we all know because we sing this song, we say, Usfartem Lechem. So that's for all of us, Sfartem Lechem. Here it's written in Lashon Yachid, it's written singular, Usparta Lecha, and therefore it's learned that this is a din on Beis Din. Beis Din has to count the Shemitot, and then they sanctify the 50th year. Okay? Then they call that Yovel. Now, other than the regular dinim of Shemitat Ksafim, that debts are canceled, which we have in Shemitah, other than the regular dinim of Shemitat Karka, that I don't work the ground and everything is Hefker. Okay, I now have another year back-to-back. After Shemitah, I now come into a Yovel year where I have exactly those laws plus. And what's the plus? All slaves are set free. Now, when I say all slaves, that includes someone who sold himself into slavery or father sold his daughter into slavery. Okay, you can sell yourself because you are destitute, you have no money, you can sell yourself into slavery. A father who's absolutely destitute can sell his daughter under bat mitzvah age into slavery. The Rambam writes that you'll never see any bracha from the money you make. Right? You think this is a good move, it's never going to be a good move. But this was, on the books at least, something that can be done. So that's category number one. Category number two. Beis Din sells you. What's the case? Why does Beis Din sell you? Yeah? You steal and you don't have the money to pay back. So let's say I sold $1 million, bet on a horse, it's all gone. Okay, so now Beis Din will sell me to slavery. I fetch $1 million and that money goes to pay off my debt. The person who paid the money gets me as a slave. Comes Yovel, I'm out. Even if, usually I'm sold for how many years? Six. Even if Yovel comes before that, the people obviously who are paying the money know that. So obviously I'm worth a lot of money, okay? Anyway, so clearly. So that's second case. Third case, Evan Nirtza. Who knows what an Evan Nirtza is? Other than Baruch. Anyone know? Evan Nirtza. Yeah, Matan. Good. A guy is supposed to leave after 6 years, and he says, oh, I love it here. I love my master. I love the non-Jewish slave woman you gave me, you know, to copulate with. I use that word for you, Solomon. Okay, and if a person says, I want to stay, so then, as Matan says, we're not so happy with it, and we nail him to the doorpost, to the door, and he continues working. But even he leaves at Yovel. Yovel is everyone out. Also, last slave, someone who sells himself to a guy. Okay, sells himself to a guy. We're talking about, obviously, guys living in Israel, and they're abiding by the Torah law. And then they are obligated to let the slave go free. We're going to come back to that case.
Do we let a non-Jew slave go or no?
We're going to talk about that too. Also, okay, another thing about Yovel. All land bought during the 50 years are returned to the original owners. This is called Achuzat Karka. Okay, we were speaking about this, I think, this morning in Shir, right? If in the time of Yeshua came in, and every Shevet was told a different area, let's say, like, you know, Dan was the area near Tel Aviv. That's why the buses in Tel Aviv are called Dan. That was like the Dan area. And different tribes went to different places. And you were from your tribe, and then you're from your clan and family. You got a portion of land. If I sold that land, so I get it back. I get it back. Maybe not even me. Maybe my children or my grandchildren. But when Yovel comes, that land goes back to my family. Okay? This, if so, all sales are really leases. It's a lease. Maximum is going to be 50 years, right? But if I sold the land somewhere in the middle, so everyone has to do the calculations and realize this is not a sale. This is, I have the land for another 20 years or 10 years or 30 years. That's the way it works, yes.
Two questions. One, let's say you buy a property within your Shevet.
I still have my family's area. My family, Hirshhorn's have this area. I get it back. I had to sell it, right? I needed the cash, but now I get it back. Okay?
So,
yeah.
I think it was John you mentioned that had like the area like along the coast.
Yeah.
So, like they didn't like defeat the Pushtim, so I think like Naftali took it over or something. So it goes back to the initial.
I think it goes back to the initial. I think it goes back to time of Yoshua. Yes, someone else had their hand up? Yeah.
Someone buy it back right after? Like, if I bought your land, it goes back to you, but they can't get it after.
Probably, but you just like pay the money again. Yeah, so you could say, I have all my business here, I have all sorts of stuff here. Yes, I would assume you could, but the person could charge you 50 years worth of whatever it's worth for the property. Yes. I'm wondering, like, what's going to happen when Mashiach comes. You know, like, I like it where I am now. I'm teaching over here. What happens all of a sudden Mashiach comes? Yo, buddy, you're up in the Golan. What? I'm like Rav Amos. I don't want to travel in the Golan. You know, like, he can do it. I can't do that. That's too long a schlep for me. So, like, I don't know. I assume I'll be able to, like, go over to the guy in my apartment and say, all right, how much is it worth for you? I want to stay in my apartment. I guess. I don't know. Yes?
In fairness, when Mashiach comes, it's worth for all of us.
It's worse for you.
Yes.
It's worse for me because you're going to be my neighbor right now. I'll be happy. I'll say, okay, go back to the, you know, back to the king. Used to be the queen. Anyway, yeah.
Assuming if Alex is still living in Milan.
Yeah, he might take my apartment. I'm not be really bad. Anyway, let's see. Now, the Torah then says, based on this, I have to be very careful. Oh, not mamon. I can't cheat someone in business. I can't go over to you and say, oh, you want to buy this property? You know, it is really fine property. You got to pay me a few million dollars. And then all of a sudden I come back to you a month and a half. Yep, Yovel, take a hike, right? So it talks about onat mamon, about not cheating someone, and onat dvarim, not embarrassing somebody. Onat dvarim is saying things that would be embarrassing, such as, gives examples like, oh, interesting that you care about that. you used to be, you know, I don't know, non-Jewish or, you know, like a ger, going into a ger and say, so what's it like eating a cheeseburger? Well, to some non-religious, you know, Baal Tshuva, and saying similar things and bringing up the past, like that's not okay.
What did you voluntarily?
So that's something else, and if people are okay, that's something else. We're talking about where it would be embarrassing. Like no one knows. Like I just heard now, Rav Amos showed me a video, interesting thing. Some woman was talking that this rabbi from Mir was in Cleveland. They were having some Shabbaton, some Mir Shabbaton. And some woman's son was learning in Mir and went over to the Rosh Yeshiva and said, I want you to know, it's such an amazing thing. My son is now putting on tefillin. No one in my family put on tefillin for 150 years.
How does he know?
This is what she said. She knows that her parents and grandparents, no one's been religious, right? And now I'm so thankful I have someone that's now putting on tefillin. This is a big deal.
What is the connection between the yovel and embarrassing people?
So you talk about onat mamon.
Mamon.
Cheating someone in business because of the yovel, I have a certain amount of time. And then embarrassing someone in public. Anyway.
Is that considered onat
tefillin? Yeah. Yeah, that is almost moment and onat
tefillin. She said,
oh, so anyway, so this woman said, I'll tell you, well, I don't know why I got into this story, but I forgot right now. Theo so rudely interrupted me and got back to the point. Anyway, you know, I was on a tangent. Anyway.
Is it because she thought it was like a good thing that her son was doing?
So here's this interesting thing. So she said, he hasn't put on tefillin in 150 years. And then this woman that was telling the story on the video was so impressed with the rabbi. The rabbi said, then I want a bracha from you. Because I have a son who doesn't put on tefillin. And she thought that was so interesting and so honest. There was no need for him to share that. And he asked, please give me a bracha. If you now have a son who's putting on tefillin, I want you to give me a bracha because my son is not. And then Rav Amos showed me the next video. The first one was, you know, a minute 45. Next one like 13 seconds. And the guy says to the woman in Cleveland, I'm the Rosh Yeshiva's son, and he put on tefillin and said, Shema Yisrael. He said, this one's for you. So he put on tefillin and said, Shema. Right? So, anyway, back here. When you keep the laws of God, God promises you, as we said before, the sixth year will have enough for Shemitah and even Yovel following until after you replant. And Yovel basically press reset. Okay, that's really what it is. Sometimes, like, your computer's all messed up, you have to unplug and you just replug, right? It just presses the reset button. Everything and everyone is returned to its original locale. The slaves, they go back to their families. The landowners go back to their original possession. Why? Because God's the boss. Right now, you thought, oh, I purchased this land, I purchased this slave. In the end, you're not the boss, and God is. And everyone gets to start. And he would say, Dav Chadash. You start all over. The Rambam writes that Yovel ceased when Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Sheva Menashe were already exiled. They were exiled before the other 9.5 tribes. And that's because the Pasuk talks about proclaiming freedom for all its inhabitants. That's the Pasuk that's on the Liberty Bell. Okay? Proclaiming freedom for all its inhabitants. And when you didn't have all the inhabitants living in Eretz Israel, so then Yovel stopped to exist. When Yovel stopped to exist, you need everyone living in Israel so we can proclaim freedom. So, oh, but now, since 2.5 tribes were already sent out of Eretz Israel, and now we see that living on the other side of the Jordan was considered part of Eretz Israel, and once they were kicked out, you no longer have everyone living in Israel. And you just need really Rove, because we never can have everyone. What happens if one guy went on a business trip, so we don't have everyone? So we mean like Rove, Rubo de Kulo. So once they left, Shemitah stops. Yovel stops. Once Yovel stops, Shemitah is no longer Doraisa, which is why people say we can rely on the Heter Mechira, because, you know, we're only talking about the Rabbanan anyway. Okay? We, in all over the world, sell Chametz, which is a loophole. You know, you guys keep all your liquor, which I think is usser. But anyway, you keep all your liquor by selling it to a guy in Pesach, and that's an Isra Daraisa. Certainly, you can rely on a Heter Mechira on a Din D'Rabbanan of Shemitah. This is one of the main reasons for relying on the Heter Mechira. So, why? Because since there's no Yovel, Shemitah is the Rabbanan, the dinim of Eved Ivri don't apply. The dinim of Steachuzah, that you get back your ancestral plot, doesn't apply. The dinim of Batei Orichoma, which I'm going to talk about in a moment, walled cities, don't apply. All of those halachot, which I'm going to explain now in a second, I'll take your questions in 1 second, only apply when Yovel was in effect, and Yovel was only in effect, and will only be in effect, when we have the majority of Jews living in Israel. Now, that might happen soon.
Yeah, that's what I'm
right, that might happen soon. I don't know. Now, there is an opinion that says it's not just in Israel. They need to be living in their ancestral plots. So we need Eliyahu to come along and say, okay, Theo, you're from Zvulun. You know, Ariel, you're from Dan. You know, no. Oh, great, I'm on the beach. Oh, whatever. So everyone's going to, you know, so everyone's going to figure out, you know, where. So it could be. Like, it could be, I have no idea how we determine who are Jews, you know, what number we are. But we're close to 50%, if, and it could be halakhically there's more Jews living in Israel now. It could be. So that's why, so it's the idea we have to be living in the proper areas. Or at least, going back to Yonah's question, own it, and then I can rent it out. I don't know.
So
but
opinion is strong enough to say that we don't do Yovel.
I'm saying once we don't have the majority,
if we have the majority,
then and living in the right area, then Yovel is in effect, and then all these other halachas take.
If we don't live in the right area,
so then it could be. From what I understand, it would not yet take effect. Okay, other questions? Yeah.
Do you actually use? Is like because I know a lot of Bethany does not hold by the hetzer. Is it actually a thing that's done by America and Israel that hold the hetzer?
Hetzer mechira?
Yes. For Shemitah.
For
well,
Shemitah?
There's no Shemitah in London, so it doesn't matter.
Is that what you said? You referenced that here?
I mean, yes, there is a Heter Mechira. It's about Shemitah.
Is that... We don't... London Bethany doesn't hold by that. Right?
Okay.
Is that a thing that... I just thought it was too big.
I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea what the London Bethany decides, though. I don't know. In Israel, it's an issue. It's not really an issue in Chutz Laretz, unless you're importing food. I personally hold from the Heter Mechira. Are there other people that don't? That's fine. You know? I personally do. Yes.
But it's pretty much impossible to know in which land we were living because there were.
I saw you need Eliyahu and Navi to come along and tell you.
Ah, yeah. But my parents, they're from different tribes. I don't know, maybe.
Right, we'll go by your father. Sorry. Tribes go by your father.
The mother. And my father also, no? I don't know.
No, father to father to father to father. Okay. Right? The tribes go by father. Whether you're Jewish or not goes by your mom, but the tribe goes by fathers. Yeah.
It goes back to the question, what about like if you have an ancestor, is it
Ger? Right. So then you don't have a portion. I don't know. I assume that they'll make high-rise apartments. I don't know. I don't know. You know, obviously, that will be taken care of.
Shouldn't be the part of the land where that...
What?
Shouldn't part of the land, like there should be parts like this is where all the gear...
I assume it's going to be taken care of. You'll be on the Sanhedrin, and you will take... You look out for them. Make sure that everyone's taken care of. Okay, now... With your wife. Now, if a person needs to sell, I don't know, I'm in a good mood today. If a person needs to sell his steachuza, again, his ancestral property, now this is needs, not for business purposes, not because he says, oh, right now I can make a killing if I invest in this particular thing, so I'm going to sell it. So, no, we're talking about like I need it right now. Because I'm out of poverty, I need cash. So then you have the rights to buy back the land after 2 years. After 2 years go by, hopefully by now I've come up with money, I can buy back the land, and I reimburse the person. If it went up in value, I have to pay. And either way, even if I wasn't able to buy it back after 2 years, I get it back, as I said before, at Yovel. But Yovel might be 48 years away from that, so I don't want to wait 48 years. So if I come up with the money, I have to wait after 2 years. He bought the land, gets 2 years. But after 2 years, if I raise the money, I am allowed to buy back my ancestral. He cannot say no. He can charge me fair value. Like I said, it went up. He can charge me for it. But I can buy it back. If a person... Yeah? If a person sells, yeah?
With Yovel, what does that mean I can't work the land? Because that means from 6 to year 1.
Yeah.
We're skipping
you can't work the land year 7, then year 8.
You can't work either.
Right.
So, but
God is amazing. That's such a crazy bumper crop. Wait,
can I pick fruit for my own?
Yes. Yes, so can anyone else. Because it's Hefker.
Right, but So what's the deal if I don't work blood? Like, why do we bug out?
Well, if you don't plant plants, they're not going to grow. Fruits, you're right. But, like, plants, you have to plant, like, your vegetables. You have to plant, like...
So how does Hashem make you grow?
What?
How does Hashem allow me to have a pepper on your Yovel?
I can have trees growing. But the other stuff, I said, if you have Heter Mechira, or you take it from outside, or you do this Otzer base thing, or stuff was growing from before. Okay. Anyway, if I have, yes.
Like brings down, like, if someone steals property, they pay back, like, the new value or, like, the amount of money they also put in.
Yeah. All of that would be coming, yes. I get sold you a plot of land, and now you built a mansion. Obviously, you get it reimbursed. Yeah. Now, if a person sells a home in a walled cities, as we're going to see in Megillah, was considered a big deal. People wanted to live in walled cities. Why?
Protection.
So... if there was a walled city from the time of Yoshua, even if now it's not, sort of a little bit strange, because you would think, does it matter? It's walled or it's walled, that's what matters. But no, the halacha is, if it was walled from the time of Yoshua, even if it's now unwalled, he can only buy back this home during the first year. And if he doesn't raise the capital to get back the property within a year, sale is final, doesn't even return during the time of Yovel. Okay? So it's a separate halacha. And if he sold a home in an unwalled city, again, we're not talking about fields, homes, and we're talking about unwalled from the time of Yeshua, and I don't care if right now it has a wall, it may be redeemed any time, and it gets back at, you get it back at Yovel. Now, homes in Ari Levium, right, where the Levium had how many cities, anyone know?
48,
good. 48 cities are Levium, 6 of which were special cities. What were they? They are a Miklat, good. 13 of the 48 were specifically designated to Kohanim. That was closer to the Beit Mikdash. Anyway, in the Batei Ari Levium, whether it's a field, whether it's a home, whether it's walled, whether it's unwalled, you can always buy it back, and it's returned at Yovel. So we, like, sort of favor the Levium, give them the best of everything. Okay, fine. Anyone Levi here? Oh, Benny is. Okay, good. Now, there's a mitzvah to help out as a community, people in need. The pasuk refers to someone who becomes poor because it is more difficult to lose something than to have never had it. So someone who had money and now lost money, so you have to help him out because aside from him being poor, he is psychologically suffering. There's a mitzvah to loan money without interest. The idea is to try to prevent poverty. The highest form of tzedakah, according to the Rambam, anyone know, is? Yeah? Giving someone a job. Good. Because now you give him a way to support himself in dignity. In dignity. Okay? And if a person has the wherewithal, it's better to give a loan than tzedakah for the same reason. Banks will not give you a loan if they don't think that you'll be able to pay it back, right? They would only give a loan to someone who they feel, okay, I'll get my money back. So if you go over to a person and give him a loan instead of tzedakah, that maintains his dignity. I did hear a sheer person trying to be medayik in the Rambam that obviously if he's in abject poverty, just give the guy money, don't make it into a loan, he has to pay it back. But we're talking about someone, let's say, has a home, and therefore, as a home, oh, potentially could be mortgaged. That's sort of what your bank does when they give you a loan. So it maintains his dignity by giving him a loan instead of giving him a handout. Why is there an idea of not giving interest? Logically speaking, if I allow to use my car or allow to use my home, it makes sense that I can charge you money. So why, if I allow to use my money, can I not charge you interest for allowing you to use my money? People would pay it, right? Right now, I need the cash. I want to make an investment. I want to buy a house. I don't have all the cash, so I want to take a loan. I'm willing to pay the interest. How come the Torah does not allow me to charge interest? And the answer is it's not immoral at all. I can charge interest to a guy, right? I can't steal from a guy. Not allowed to steal from a guy, but I can charge interest because it's not immoral to charge interest. As I said before, I could charge to give him my car. I could charge to give him my money. But the answer is found in the Torah, because he is your brother. Okay, that's what Ariel wanted to say. And therefore, there's a different type of relationship between Jews. More is expected. If your brother needed money, you wouldn't say, all right, here's the payment schedule. Okay, I'm going to expect it like this, with this amount of interest. He's your brother. So we are supposed to treat every Jew in this way. The Rav points out...
You hold that by that loophole of, oh, he's a partner, he's not loaning me money and interest, he's a partnership, so that's why...
No, we're talking about Jews now. I'm not talking about non-Jews.
No, I'm talking about Jews.
You're supposed to...
But people charge interest in this thing because...
If someone's charging interest in business today, they're using what's called a heter iska that makes it into an investment.
Right.
That's a complicated thing which I don't want to get into right now. Okay?
Do you
now,
hold by that?
What?
Do you hold by
Everyone
that?
Everyone holds by that. It is an absolute halakha that one could do.